Now we're going to try and conclude our study in John 5, same subject, evangelism. And we begin to realize in a fresh new way that evangelism is not as easy as simply sharing the gospel. Part of the problem, of course, lies with the fact that the individual who hears has the responsibility of accepting the gospel message. On the other hand, he can also simply reject. And sometimes people reject in a number of ways, and they don't really tell you that they don't like to hear the gospel, but they will have their own ways of offering some kind of resistance. They can ask endless questions, one after the other, not because they want to find an answer, but because this is their very subtle way of rejecting the gospel. Can that happen? Unfortunately, yes. Or they may express doubts, one doubt after another. No matter how much you try and assure, no matter how much you try to bring assurance, it does not seem to work because there are more doubts. The resistance to the gospel is something that we have to grapple with. It's a reality. It's a human heart problem. It is a sin problem. And that's not going to go away easily at any time. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing how hard the human heart can be, will still keep trying. And so he tries very hard to bring across what we call witnesses. Because this is how very often the human being works. When people object and say, well, that's what you say, how can we know for sure? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ entertained that and offered what he called witnesses. In more ways than one, people seem to be a little bit more open if the opinions or if further evidence would be brought forward. Perhaps that will tilt the balance. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came up with this thought here. And he was going to try to help them to find salvation in him. And so he literally tried to help them by appealing to what we call witnesses. In John 5:31, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ's witness is not true per se, but that, you know, if he were to simply bear witness of himself, the people's regard for that witness is not going to be accepted, is not going to be considered true. Now, this is important for us to understand. So when we take a look at what we call a conditional sentence, the idea is if something is said to be the first place, the second will actually follow up to a point. In this particular instance, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If I bear witness to myself, the fact is it is true." But as far as the people are concerned, they are going to reject it as true, not because it is not true, but because this is how they think. So sometimes a conditional sentence doesn't work out as theoretically it was meant to. So the idea here is that of a person can make a statement, and if the people are going to respond incorrectly, it will still hold true. And the Lord Jesus Christ expresses understanding of that. What he really means when he said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true," This is to be understood in the light of how they will perceive him. Not because his witness was not true or unacceptable, but simply because they would reject it because their minds have already been half made up. If you speak only of yourself, it's not true. That's it. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ was citing, not because his witness was not true. Right? So we've got to understand how this sentence actually is to be understood. And so the Lord Jesus Christ called upon four witnesses. And these four witnesses have to be understood very, very carefully. So from John 5, 32 to 35, his first witness that he's going to call upon was none other than John the Baptizer. Well, let's take a look. He said, "There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that a witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth." Well, this is a very, very clever way of helping the people come to understand and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called upon the very credible witness of John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer was well understood, well accepted by thousands. So if they were to reject John's witness, they would have a serious problem. Well, let's look at what John himself said about the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in John 1:27, he said that he is mightier. I think that's very, very obvious. Two, he presented the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Now, how are we going to understand this witness? Is John untrue? Is John's words unacceptable? How does it work out? Since they are looking for witnesses, well, he's going to give those witnesses as they have asked for. And so this is how it works. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I don't need a witness." 34, "I do not receive testimony from men. But I say these things that you may be saved." And that's why he brought in witnesses. Not because he is dependent upon witnesses, not because he needs the witnesses, but because that was their mindset. That was the way they thought, that was the way they reasoned, and he accommodated. And so he presented the idea of a witness. Now, this idea of a witness is actually very carefully stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And John brings that up again. In John 1:19 to 28, the chief priests from Jerusalem had sent the younger priests to check John out. And so they said to him, "Tell us who you are so that we may make a report to those who sent us. Who are you?" Well, the Lord, John said, "I am not the Messiah. I am not that one. Who are you?" He says, "I'm just simply a voice crying out in the wilderness." And that's it. John refused to commit himself to say very much to them because he too knew that the people who had sent them were people who did not really believe. Well, you can read this for yourself from 19 to 28, John chapter 1. And so the Lord Jesus Christ commented, "John bore witness of the truth." Now that's important. He bore witness to the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and that he was indeed greater. Now, John was further commended. 5:35, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He was the burning and shining lamp." That's how the Lord Jesus Christ saw John the Baptizer. He was a burning, shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So the Lord Jesus had to remind them. For a while they rejoiced in the light because John was such a great popular preacher. Thousands came to hear him and to be baptized by him. Now, they will have then to consider the witness that the Lord Jesus Christ had presented to them. Will they accept or will they reject? It's really up to them. Well, then John 5:36, the Lord Jesus Christ brought in a second witness. Now, this is important. He says, I have greater witness than John's. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very work that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand. What are these works? Well, there was an occasion, for example, when John the Baptizer was in prison and he was a little bit doubtful as to why he was in prison and why the Lord Jesus Christ did what he did. And he was, for a little while, a bit shaky. And so he sent disciples to the Lord Jesus and asked him this question, Matthew 11 and verse 3. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? The Lord Jesus Christ replied, and he said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. These are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So the works of the Lord Jesus Christ were appealed to as proof enough and more that he was indeed the Son of God who had come to bring salvation to the world. You cannot escape the reality and the power of the works or the miracles that he had performed. Then in John 15, we have a similar situation where the Lord Jesus Christ did some very, very special works. And this is absolutely important for us to take note of. In John 15, 29 to 31, we see this word, we see this very, very clearly. 29 to 31, right? Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid him down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. This is very similar to Matthew chapter 11, very obviously. Right? So Matthew 11, 11, 1 to 6. And then, of course, 15, 29 to 31. And this would be a fantastic testimony. So the witnesses that Lord Jesus called upon were not human witnesses alone, but they were witnesses that were so powerful, they were greater than human witnesses. Would they receive the second witness? And so when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about witnesses, he was not falling back on the human ideas as to what a witness is. Very often in the human court of law, the witnesses are simply people who will stand up to speak for a person. But that system is sometimes not totally great because it can be flawed. Because the opposition can bring up another set of witnesses that will be contrary to what was said. Then you will have to decide which side you want to believe in. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, when he called for witnesses, did it quite differently. He appealed to things which were inescapable, undeniable in its power. And so there was the appeal to John the Baptizer, and there was appeal to his works. The third witness the Lord Jesus Christ called upon was even more amazing. In 5:37, we read these words here. And the Father himself has testified of me. So he calls upon God the Father as a witness. And this is number three. Now, that is going to be a very challenging way of presenting a witness. Nevertheless, he would call upon his Father as a witness. And so he said this, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. So there's no question about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ called upon God the Father as his witness. In Matthew chapter 3, in Luke chapter 3, we have this, the description of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there the Father testified, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, can this be done? Oh, absolutely. In 5:36, he said, the works which the Father has given me to finish. Now, the works were things that the Father wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to perform. And he did that. And so that was the obvious challenge. It was valid to speak of the Father as a witness, seen in the works that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that when he raised up God the Father, a lot of eyebrows would be raised. How can you appeal to God the Father who really cannot be, as it were, cross-examined? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said that for good reason. In 5:37, the second part of it, he said, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Now, that was purposely chosen because it allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to bring out a truth. And the fact, and that truth is that they have never heard the Father's voice nor seen his form. In other words, God the Father was not real to these people who were challenging the Lord Jesus Christ. To them, God was just simply idea of God. Was he personal enough, close enough for them to catch a glimpse of what he was really like, who he was really like? And the answer is they were not able to understand the Lord Jesus because they don't know the Lord God as Father. They were not close to him. He was not very real to them in any way. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ called upon God, his Father, as the third witness. Now, then he went on to the fourth witness. This is found in verses 38 and 39. And he said, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And so the fourth witness would be the scriptures. And as the scriptures are presented, we begin to realize in a fresh new way just how far the people who were his detractors, how far they were away from God and the scriptures, which they they're supposed to subscribe to. The scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. The scriptures testify of him by way of prophecy. And prophecies were many. There were prophecies from Micah. There were prophecies from Isaiah. There were prophecies in other prophetic books. If only they had the eyes to see and the heart to believe, they would have immediately recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the person whom God had sent. But the fact is, they did not understand this. And this was a really big problem. Look at 5:38, and you will see this very, very clearly in John 5 and verse 38. And this is very, very, very clear, right? And the word was, you do not have his word abiding in you. That was a problem. 2, they did not believe in him whom God had sent. Well, when you look at this combination, you begin to realize what we are looking at. Why they could not believe. And the reasons actually are very, very, very clear. Right? They don't know the word. The word of God that they have read don't abide in their hearts. They don't really believe in God the Father either. You put them all together, and you begin to realize that they are people who talk about God, but they don't believe in him. The people talk about the scriptures, but the scriptures and his word, they are not abiding in their hearts. And combine them together, you begin to realize why they resisted the gospel the way they did. So the Lord Jesus Christ put it together and explain to them themselves what was really in their heart. First, verse 40, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That is the first problem. They were not even willing to consider. And when people are not willing to consider, look, there is nothing we can do because they have just simply set aside or rejected. And there's nothing is going to happen beyond that. They did not believe. They were not even willing. That's the first problem. The second problem in verse 42, we read, I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. That is another problem. So the word of God is not in them. The love of God is not in them. They were not willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to even consider what he is teaching. Put them all together and we have major problems on our hands, obviously. Then the Lord Jesus Christ highlighted another difficulty. And this difficulty is very, very obvious, right? 5:41, we read, I do not receive honor from men. This is a problem which we may call the problem of worldliness. What is this problem? The problem of worldliness in this context here is the matter of the word called honor. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ had come from a very famous family, in Jerusalem born, he might have received some honor. But he came from Nazareth of Galilee, a little city that was despised by many far and wide. He did not come from the rabbinical schools. In fact, he was virtually a nobody, and then suddenly he came onto the scene. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew this. This was a problem of worldliness in their heart. But he said, I do not receive honor from men. I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. Right? Now he went on further to say, I come in my Father's name. You do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive. That is the worldly system. If somebody promotes himself, if somebody cites the name, the name droppers, if they cite that they are disciples of somebody or other, Hillel, Shammai, let us say, those were the existing major rabbis just before the Lord Jesus Christ came onto the scene. They would have accepted them just like that. And that is a really big problem. And so he said to them, how can you believe who receive honor from one another? And you do not seek the honor that comes from the only God. Well, that was a problem. So we have a combination as to why people don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for his own sake. If when we want to come to believe in the Lord Jesus, let's believe in him because of what he said, because of who he is, because he has demonstrated in his life and in his teachings the person that he really is, the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, and much more. But if we use worldly methods, and we must have someone to speak on his behalf, someone who will say, yes, you know, we should endorse the Lord Jesus, and it's just based upon a worldly system rather than God's system. That system, as far as the Lord is concerned, is an unworthy one. If anyone comes in his own name, you will receive him. If anyone comes in the name of God the Father, they will not receive him. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and you do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? And they were truly, well and truly caught. They wanted witnesses. The Lord Jesus Christ has presented four witnesses, not the kind of witnesses that they were hoping to see or to hear. If he had quoted some famous person to back him up, he would probably have been better received. But that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not need witness for man. But if they really wanted witnesses, he presented four. John the Baptizer, the works that he did, the Lord, the Father, and then, of course, the Scriptures. And if these are not acceptable, then that's their problem. And the problem is not that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, verse 45, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. So they try to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saying, are you accusing us of something? See, these are all hidden things. They don't really say it out loud, but they're thinking these thoughts in their hearts and in their minds. He is accusing us. And the Lord takes out what was in their heart, takes out what is in their mind, and just simply says it for what it is worth. And this is what he said. And he says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. I don't have to. There is one who accuses you. That person is Moses, in whom you say you trust. You say you trust Moses. If you believed Moses, if you had believed in him, you would have believed in me. He wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You know, in many, many wonderful ways, Moses, in his writings, Genesis to Deuteronomy, you will find that actually Moses did know about the Messiah to come. He portrayed the Messiah as, for example, the angel of the Lord in the book of Genesis. He portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet that would be like him. Well, this was something that Moses was actually trying to communicate to his readers, to the children of Israel. The problem is that though they espouse, though they say that they believe in Moses and they trust in him, the reality was that they did not. They did not really believe in Moses. They just read his writings. They did not trust in God, though they profess him in their outward worship. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that these were the problems that were amongst the people. And so he said, "You do not believe his writing, the scriptures. How will you believe my words?" If they have rejected that which they profess to be the standard of their faith, the basis, the foundation of the whole fabric of their religion, how would they be able to understand the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him? You know, as we try and summarize John 5, we have to ask ourselves what the real problem is. And that real problem is actually unbelief. And that is a problem. Well, the Lord had to open this up, and this is a real problem. If ever we are going to resolve the problem of unbelief, we have to be pretty candid. We have to be absolutely humble to resolve this problem. The hindrance to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the person of the Lord Jesus, nor in his works, nor in the gospel message he preached. The problem is a problem that is deep down inside us. And that is something we need to resolve. Right? What about the Lord Jesus Christ to all the people who believe? All the people who follow him. And this is something that we need to appreciate. Anyone who comes to faith in him, John 1:12, he gives them the right to be called the children of God. And whoever will come to him, no matter how humble they may be, no matter the difficulties in their life, the Lord Jesus Christ will help them and he will heal them with a lot of love and compassion in his heart for everyone who is not well, physically or spiritually. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ at work, trying to show to us an example of how evangelism actually works. It's more than just a presentation of the gospel. We have to recognize that sometimes we are dealing with hearts that are hardened. We're dealing with people who have a basic unbelief problem. We are dealing with difficulties which cannot be easily overcome. The only way in which we can overcome this is to recognize our hard-heartedness, our unbelief, our lack of knowledge, our lack of understanding, and bring them before God and say, "These are our problems." And we have to confess these sins. So if the spiritually dead will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person can come to life. The Lord can give that life to anyone who would come to him humbly with a little bit of faith in him, and he will take it from there. And I want to encourage you to look into your heart and check and see whether there is an unbelief problem. And if there is an unbelieving problem, then it is wise that we deal with the problem immediately, or the problem will never go away easily. Well, let us pray together and ask the Lord to grant to us that wisdom to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have given to us the scriptures, you've given to us the works of God, your works to study, to behold, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. We thank you for the scriptures that we can read. And we confess to you that our problem is that of basic unbelief. that we find it so hard to believe. Grant us your grace and mercy to consider what you can do for us in our heart. You can bring to us salvation, cause us to be born again, enable us to find a faith that is real and it will keep growing. We pray for your grace and for your mercy to be given to us. Help us to minister wisely, patiently, lovingly with those who may struggle in their faith, in their hearts. Help us to keep on believing and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.